Let's pray together this morning. Lord, thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for the opportunity we have to worship. And Lord, I thank you for bringing folks back together who may not have been able to come for a while. And we just thank you that the family of God is strong and growing. And we can share now in music and message, and we can share some smiles of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to introduce a gentleman to you today. I don't know that you'll recognize who he is. I sure didn't know until I started looking into some things. But his name is Richard Montanez. We have a picture for him. That's the guy right there, Richard Montanez. Anybody know this gentleman by face or by story? Do you really? Oh, I thought you were saying I do. I was like, I'm real impressed. Mr. Montanez was a janitor working for the Frito-Lay company. He realized that there was no brand of Cheetos marketed for the Latino community. And so this janitor found a broken machine in the company, took it home, produced a cheeseless Cheeto, sprinkled hot pepper, hot chili pepper on it, and the rest is history. Everyone likes Flamin' Hot Cheetos, right? Personally, I've never tasted them. Can't handle that Flamin' Hot stuff. This guy invented it out of nowhere. A janitor at the company. I find that to be incredible. As a matter of fact, in 1991, Flamin' Hot Cheetos outsold the original cheese flavor. He became a vice president. From janitor to executive vice president with some chili powder. People really can do anything sometimes. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest joys in life as a believer, as a Christian, is the thrill of knowing God can use us to do anything that he wants us to do. God can use you for a greater purpose than yourself. Because we were made for far more than just living for ourselves. So today I'm continuing my series called Mercy Can Change Your Life. I started it a couple of weeks ago on Easter Sunday. Mercy can change your life. Today we're going to be talking about how God can use anybody. That includes you. God can use anybody because of his mercy. Look at this verse Paul wrote in Romans 6:13. Romans chapter 6, verse 13, Paul said, "Give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, because you have been brought from death to life. And now you want to be used by God for good and for his righteous purposes." A lot of people think that God could never use them. That God can use others, but God can't use me. They feel disqualified because of their past sin, or they feel unqualified because they think they're not equipped to do anything. But you're dead wrong. We only have to look at the life of the Apostle Paul for both of those myths to be blown all to pieces. Nobody, as best we can tell, we would probably all agree, nobody's been used more by God in all of history than the Apostle Paul. He almost single-handedly spread Christianity all over the Roman Empire. He literally planted churches everywhere he went. He wrote almost half of the entire New Testament. It would be very difficult to argue that anyone has been more used by God than Paul. And right now we're thinking, that's why I don't think God can use me, because I'm no Paul. But the rest of the story about Paul makes us believe that we can. Because Paul, before he ever became the apostle, before he ever started leading people to Christ, before he ever started preaching where thousands, 5,000s of people were saved, before he ever did that, Paul had a past. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at different verses throughout that chapter this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul gives us five truths of being used by God, because God really can use anyone. God can and wants to use you. So let's look at these things. I hope you have your outline. You can follow along as we go through this. God can use anybody. And the first thing we need to remember about God using anybody is that we never forget that when God uses us, it's all because of God's mercy. Not because of who you are, not because of what you've done, not because of your present, your past, not because of your future. It's all because of God's mercy. Whether or not your name is Paul, God can use anybody because of His mercy. Now, mercy is undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness. When somebody forgives you, you don't deserve that. That's mercy. When somebody shows you kindness, that's mercy. And everything God does in and for you, He does so by His mercy. You don't deserve it. He just does it because of His mercy to us. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, the very first verse that we're looking at this morning. He says, God, in His mercy, has given us this ministry and work to do. That's why we do not become discouraged and never give up. God gives us the work because of His mercy. Now, ministry is anytime you use your talents that God gave you to help somebody else. That's ministry. It's something you do in the world with and for others. Every person is a minister. We've talked about this many times. The pastors here at the church, we're called ministers. We're vocational ministers. This is our job. Everybody who's a believer is a minister. Beyond what we do up here as pastors and out there as pastors, that's our job. We have a ministerial vocation. Beyond that, we have ministries to do just like you do, apart from my job. Does that make sense? People think ministries are for what? No, ministries aren't for us. Ministries are for all of God's children. You were created to make a contribution with your life. You weren't made just to be down here to take up space or just to live for yourself. God didn't create you for you to live for you. He created you to live for something so much bigger. I know sometimes people say, well, Pastor, you don't know my past. You don't know my present. You don't know what I'm stuck in. You don't know what I do. You don't know my habits. No, I don't. I don't. You don't know what my hang-ups are. I don't. But God does. And He says, I'm using you anyhow. Think about Paul. Do you know what Paul was? Do you know what his vocation was before he became saved and an evangelist and a church planter? Do you know what Paul was? He was an anti-Christian terrorist. He sought out and literally killed Christians. He led people to go find other Christians and kill them. This is the exact opposite kind of person you would expect for God to ever call or ever use. If God can use Paul, and Paul did those things for many years, I know He can use you and me. Look at these verses in Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and verse 15. Paul said this about himself: "You know what I was like, how I violently persecuted Christians. I did my best to get rid of them. But then something happened. For it pleased God in his kindness to call me and to choose me even before I was born. What undeserved mercy." Folks, your past does not preclude your future. Your past is past. It is over. You messed up. We all have. It doesn't matter what you've done. God says, "I want to use you today and going forward because of my mercy. And I can do it." God says, I can work through you. I can bless you. I can use you to bless others. People need what you have. Let me use you. Paul said before God even made him, God had decided what he was going to do with Paul. God knew he was going to use Paul. God already knew all the sinful things Paul would do. Yet God still chose him and said, "Work for me." How? How is that possible? How can Paul, who had that kind of past, do the kind of work God wanted him to do? What he actually wound up doing is because of God's, help me, mercy. That's the key today. When I say because of God's and I stop, you say, I say God's, you say, I feel like I'm leading a cheer. And it's the same with us, folks. It really is. God has a calling for your life to serve him. You were created to make a contribution with your life. And before you were ever born, God knew what he wanted you to do from the very beginning of time. And because of his mercy, you are not disqualified from serving him at all. God says, "I'm going to use you in spite of the fact that you are broken." Because, did you ever realize this? There are no perfect people in the world. Did you know that God only uses flawed people? God only uses broken people, weak people, sinful people, people who don't have it all together. Everything that gets done in God's kingdom in this world is done by less than perfect people. How? Because of God's mercy. Let me give you an example or two or three or 10 or 12. Next time you feel like God can't use you because you're not perfect, because you don't have it all together, you got to remember God can use you because of his mercy. Remember these folks in the Bible. Noah was a drunk. Abraham and Sarah were too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob, the God of Jacob. Jacob was a liar and a deceiver. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered and had a hot temper. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab, in the lineage of Jesus, was a prostitute. Jonah was fearful, reluctant, disobedient, and he ran from God over and over again. Jeremiah suffered with deep depression. Timothy was too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. We just kind of skip. Do you hear me? David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. I'm not as impressed with that now that I see it happen all the time on Naked and Afraid. They eat bugs all the time. I know you watch that show too. Don't act like I... Peter denied Christ and had anger management problems. The disciples fell asleep when Jesus needed them most. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was small. Paul killed Christians. Timothy had an ulcer. And you think you have problems that prevent you from serving God? Consider Lazarus. He was dead. Don't sit here this morning and say, God can't use me. Oh, yes, he can. All because of God's mercy. Fill this in on your outline. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Don't ever be a prisoner of your past. Your past is a lesson, not a life sentence. That guy you think is a good guy, a godly man, that woman whom you think is a saint, remember, every saint has a past. Everyone's messed up. We're all flawed. We've all fumbled the ball. Every saint has a past, and thank God every sinner has a future. Because of God's mercy, it doesn't matter how you've messed up, when you've messed up, where you've messed up. Under God's grace and forgiveness and mercy, you have another chance. Never forget, it's all about God's mercy and how His mercy, in His mercy, He can use anybody. He can use you. There's a second key to being used by God. Number two, be real. You must be real. You've got to learn to be authentic. You've got to become genuine. You have to be yourself. God did not create you to be somebody else. When you get to heaven one day, God isn't going to say, "Why weren't you more like Moses? Why weren't you more like your sister, your brother, your mom, your dad?" God made you to be you. I love this verse, 2 Corinthians 4:2. Paul says this, "We don't try to trick anyone, and we don't twist the word of God. Instead, we teach the truth plainly, showing everyone who we really are. Then they can know in their hearts what kind of people we are in God's sight." Underline that phrase, who we really are. Too many times we don't let people see who we really are. We portray who we think they want us to be, or who we think they will accept, or who we think they will like. That's who we portray many times, and Paul says, no. That's not how God wired. That's not how He made you. Show everyone who you really are. You've got to be real. Paul said he had nothing to hide. He's transparent. What you see is what you get. You don't have to be perfect for God to use you, folks. But you do have to be authentic. Sometimes people put pastors on pedestals. Well, I can speak for the Crossroads folks here, me, John, and Jason. We're three pastors, and I want to tell you we're not perfect. We are all three flawed people. And then we came over here and Charles joined us and we became really extremely flawed people. Oh my gosh. If you think any of us are perfect, you ask our families. You ask our spouses. You ask our children. You ask our friends who know us best. They'll tell you. No, they're not perfect. And more than just not being perfect, I hope we are people who are real, genuine, authentic. Because that's what hooks people. You want to lead someone to Jesus? You want to lead a lost person to Christ? Be yourself. Just be God honest with them. Let them see how God has changed you and is in the process of changing you. We need to get out from the walls behind which we hide. When you understand you're a child of God, you realize it's all by God's mercy, and therefore you don't have to fake anything. You can be real. You can be genuine. You can be authentic with God, with yourself, with others. With whom do you need to be real? Do you still try and fake it through life, pretending about some things that you know aren't really true? It's time for all of us just to step back and go, God, here I am. Friends, folks, family, here I am. In God's mercy, you become real with people and you begin to change people's lives. God will use you as you become real. The third key to being used by God in His mercy is to remember it's not all about me. It's not all about me. When you forget this, you're going to either get bitter from problems or you're going to get prideful from your blessings. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:5, our message is not about ourselves, it is about Jesus Christ as the Lord. We are merely your servants for Jesus' sake. He says it's not about us, it's about Jesus. It's not about you. This is the exact opposite of everything that you're taught, because everything in our society says it's all about us. Every advertisement appeals to our self-centeredness, our sense of narcissism. You can have it all. You can be better. We'll do this for you. It's all about you. It's very hard to live an unselfish life in today's culture because our entire culture and economy are built around the fact that everybody says it's all about you, and we've bought into it. Well, I got some news for you. It is not all about you. It's not all about me. We need to get away from this idea that we are the center of our own universe. We're not. God is. So we need to quit viewing the world as though it revolves around us. We need to stop seeing everything through our perspective, our preferences. We need to realize that sometimes we can be wrong. We need to realize that we are here to become more and more like Jesus. And by doing so, we're here to serve other people. Why? Because it's not about me. And we need massive doses of God's mercy to change this part of ourselves and to admit, it's not about me, God. Get me out of the picture. Work through me and teach me that it's not about me. It's about you and it's about others. Get away from our self-centeredness. Another secret of being used by God in His mercy, number four, is that God uses my pain to help others. God uses my pain to help other people. If you do this, God will bless you in ways that you can't imagine. Use the things that have hurt you. Use the things you're ashamed of. The things that have given you most difficulty in your life. Use the things that have brought problems in your life or have been a problem in your life in order to help others who are going through the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul said this. We often suffer, but we're never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we're knocked down, we get up again. Folks, we're all going to go through pain in our lives. You may as well use it for good. Don't ever waste a pain in your life. There are three kinds of suffering. I'll just give you this real quickly. The first is kind of suffering that we bring on ourselves. Ever had that kind of suffering? That was my fault. That's on me. I did it. It was my own fault. The second kind of suffering is innocent suffering. Through no fault of yours, you're hurt by somebody else. The highest form of suffering is redemptive suffering, where you choose to put up with pain and problems in order to help others. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was doing redemptive suffering. He didn't bring it on himself. He was willing to go through it so he could bring salvation to people. He was redeeming the world. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:15. All of these sufferings of ours are for your benefit. And the more of you who go, or the more of you who are one to Christ, the more there are to thank him for his great mercy, and the more God gets the glory. Now, God can use all three forms of suffering for good, even the ones you bring on yourself. He can use it all for good, and he can take it and bless others through you because of it. What we need to do is say, God, no matter what pain I go through, use that in a way that helps me be able to better identify with somebody going through that kind of pain and share with them, not how I have it all together, but my own journey, my own story. Let me share with them the struggles I went through. I'm a fixer. Anybody in here a fixer? Many guys are fixers. Now, I'm not talking about household items. I'm a breaker. I'm just saying, I'm a breaker. But I'm a fixer. When people come to me with their problems, I want to fix it. I want to fix it. I want to fix them. I want to fix it. And it's done out of well-being, right? We like to help others. I like to fix people. But you know what I've learned in my, how old did I say I was on Easter Sunday? 61. In my many years of life, I've learned that I really can't fix people. And when I come at that, when they come to me with their problem and I'd come back to them with the answer, they were grateful for my time, but not a whole lot else. So you know what I do now when people come to me with their problems? I just listen. I just let them tell me. I give them some feedback and that will allow them to go further and deeper with their feelings and their thoughts. And I just sit there and listen, and before I know it, we've gone through a whole cycle. We come back around, and they may not be fixed, but they're close to it. And guess what? It was them doing it, not me. Took more of my time. I wish I could fix that, but just kidding. People are going, I am never going to Kevin for counseling. God wants to use you to help others by his mercy. People are going to come to you, and they're going to be full of pain. They're going to have stories in their life, some that may blow you away. When somebody's coming to tell you one of those, don't go, huh? Don't do that. Just listen. Let God work his mercy through you. Accept them and let him use you. And number five, talking about God's mercy, being able to use all of us, that happens, number five, when we stay focused on eternity. When we stay focused on eternity. We've got to maintain an eternal perspective. This way we don't get overwhelmed by our problems and our situations. The bigger your picture of God, the smaller the problems you see. The more you understand what's going on and what's going to happen later in eternity, the less bothered you are about the things that happen here on the earth. If you lose your eternal perspective, if you forget that it's not all over forever, it's not all about now, then problems can overwhelm you. You've got to just remember, folks, what's the old song? We're just passing through. We're just passing through. I know you can get buckled down with other people's problems. I know you can get just overwhelmed with your own life situation. I get that. But somewhere, somehow, just remind yourself, this is just not even a smidgen of all eternity with God when that time comes. It doesn't mean you hide from what you're going through. It doesn't mean you deny the pain or you ignore it. No, you acknowledge it. But remember, it's just a small portion. Stay focused on eternity. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17. These little troubles are getting us ready for an eternal glory that will make all our troubles seem like nothing. I ought to get an amen there. Are you looking forward to the day when you can look back from heaven and all this stuff was like, man, that was nothing compared to where I am now? And the thing is, Paul's writing this. He's not in heaven yet. He calls them little troubles. He was shipwrecked, wrongly imprisoned, beaten 5 times, and he says, these are small problems. I feel bad even thinking I had a bad day now. How can Paul think all of that? All of those things were small problems because he had an eternal perspective. Look what he says, 2 Corinthians 4:18, next verse. So, we don't look at the troubles we can see right now. Rather, we look forward to what we have not yet seen. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Friends, this is a great motivation in life. Sometimes we want to be internally motivated. We want to be happy. We want to be popular. We want to be rich and loved and famous. Then there's external motivations. It's kind of like the carrot and the stick in front of you. As long as I can keep having something to strive for. But the highest form of motivation is not the internal motivation. It's not the external motivation. It's the eternal motivation. It's being motivated by the fact that this life is just a test. It's the get-ready stage for the real show that's going to go on for trillions among trillions among trillions of years, never stopping. One of the keys to staying focused now in spite of our problems is to have good support. Fill this in on your outline. A key to staying focused is to have good support. Folks, you need people in your lives as a support system for you. You need one person, two other people. Maybe you're part of a small group. Paul never did anything in his life by himself. He took a small group of people with him everywhere he went. He needed support, and so do we. Matter of fact, look what the book of Ecclesiastes says in chapter 4, verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three people are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You need other believers in your life. You need to have support. You likewise need to be a support for other people around you as well. Who's your support system? Who is one or two, maybe three people you could call on at any time of the day knowing they'd be there for you? If you can't name them, you need to find some. You need to find some. We all need it. God can use anybody. He can use you. You do not have to be perfect. You do not have to have it all together. You do not have to be so many years old as a Christian. You might be born again just last week. Maybe you've been here for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 decades. God wants and He can use you. Do you hear me? God can use you. You don't have to be at the pinnacle of your life. God can use you. I want you to take a look at a picture at these guys. Anybody know who these folks are? Well, duh, I left the words up there. That's for those... Never mind, I was the slow one here. Creedence Clearwater Revival. Anybody heard of them? Creedence Clearwater? Yeah, now we're talking. You don't eat bugs, but you listen to these guys, right? Creedence Clearwater Revival, they were a wonderful success soft rock band in the late 60s, early to mid 70s. They had 5 hits that you may remember, 3 of them. Proud Mary, right? Done that Proud Mary? Yeah. How about Bad Moon Rising? I just want to play it and sing it, you know? Traveling Band? I'm a traveling. Yeah, there we go. Jason's going, don't start, Kevin, don't start. Do you know that these guys had 5 number 2 hits in the top Billboard 100? 5 number 2s, and they never had a number 1 record. Never had number 1. Do you think they were successful? You don't have to have it all together in your life for God to use you. You can be number 2, number 8. 8. Listen, I want you walking away with this. God wants to use you. By his mercy, God can use anybody. And you are gypping yourself, you are gypping the kingdom of God. If you don't not only just recognize that, but allow that to sink in. So you start saying, God, how can I get usable? You want to use me, God? Use me. Show me how. Tell me how. Show me who to talk to about it. God wants to grow you and bless you, absolutely. He also wants to use you, absolutely. Will you please get usable for God? Uh-oh, how do you do that? Well, wait a minute. I just did a whole sermon on it. You be yourself. God, here I am. Use me. I'm going to dare you to pray those 2 words today. 3 words. God, use me. I dare you to pray it and mean it. Because when you do, get ready. He's going to wear you out. He's going to use you and work through you in ways you could never have imagined. All right? All right. Let's pray together. God, thank you for reminding us this morning that you want to use us. We're grateful, Lord. It's hard to imagine that you, God of the universe, God Almighty, wants to use us. We could never measure up, but neither can anyone else. Paul couldn't. But you, God, in your mercy, by your mercy, you still say, I want to use you. And my prayer is now that you will just help us to move that from our head to our heart and help our heart to respond by saying, God, I know you want to use me. God, here I am. Use me. I have no idea, Lord, how this church could explode and grow your kingdom if everybody in here this morning simply said, God, use me. And then when you showed them how they were obedient, we would blow James Island all to pieces for your kingdom's sake. We'll take baby steps, Lord. Whatever decision or decisions we need to make now, we want to do it so you can use us. Bless us to that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, let's pray. And folks, thank you for worshiping today. This has been a great time. The message, what we just heard, joy shall never end. Heard that right in the middle of that message, and I hope that you take that with you. Even on a tough day, remember, joys will never end. Let's pray. Lord, as we come together here, we thank you for the family that that you bring us here, a bond that goes far beyond just being a part of Calvary or Crossroads. It's a bond that that only you can give through your Spirit. We thank you for that. Today, as we are challenged here, not to say, Lord, I can't do that, I can't do this, but to realize you can use us to do great things in your kingdom. Remind us of that, Lord, day by day. Help us encourage each other, support each other to stay focused on you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for those joys that we know one day will never end. And we pray it in Jesus' name. And his people said,
Amen.
Amen.